hope you're enjoying ourselves too much. It's on Happy Happy Club.
We could just play this for half an hour.
I am joined in the studio by author Peter Jones, who is a writer. Author, I like to say he's a writer, not an author. Do you like author or writer?
I prefer author.
Author, sorry.
I hardly ever get to write, so.
Good afternoon. I'm joined in the studio by
author
Peter Jones. Peter has written from Invisible to Irresistible, which I read last week in the bath.
You're in the bath.
You're in the bath.
That's
with me.
One
it's
long
lovely.
Bath.
Thanks very much. Not the whole book, but it's very, very good.
Not in the bath with you.
There would be no room. There'd be no room. I'm very selfish like that. How to Do Everything and Be Happy, which I'm halfway through at the moment. A great book. Mm. How to Eat Loads and Stay Slim, which I need to read desperately. How to Start Dating and Stop Waiting, and The Good Guy's Guide to Getting the Girl.
No, I haven't written that last one.
Why is it on your list then?
Because it's coming out in Easter.
Oh, whatever. So. All the W's, peterjonesauthor.com. You can take a look at his fabulous website. He's got loads and loads of stuff
thank
on there.
You.
And thank you, because he's given me today the book How to Start Dating and Stop Waiting.
Yeah.
Your heartbreak-free guide to finding love, lust or romance. Now. That's the bit I like.
Now. Yeah, no
I'll
waiting.
The microphone
straight away. Yeah.
Your hair's all over the place. Is that me?
Yeah, it is.
It's not come off my
face. It's your new stylish hairdo.
Do you like
that's what it is, yeah.
It's better, isn't it?
It is. It's more funky. It's more you. It's a bit boofy.
Oh dear.
No, that's a good thing. It's very rock and roll, very rock chick. I'm going to stop talking.
When I read your book the other day, we were talking about it was saying in the book about you used to have long hair.
Yes.
Which I can't imagine.
I did. I used to have sort of like, my hair was like Kevin Keegan. It came down to my shoulders.
Oh, sorry.
It was long and curly. And that was fine, you know, because if it had been the 80s, you know, it would have been very, no, it didn't perm. It was naturally curly. It would have been, you know, it would be very fashionable and in. But unfortunately, it wasn't the 80s. It was the 90s.
Oh, Peter,
stop
please
it.
Bring in a picture. I've got to see
no.
this.
No. And, what happened was, I went to a wedding, and unbeknownst to me, somebody was there with a video recorder. And I got to see the video a week later, and I got to see myself with long hair.
Yeah.
And instead of being this sort of young, artisan sort of person who I imagined myself to be, I saw this gangly, nerdy-looking guy with long hair, which was scragged into a ponytail, and it really didn't look... It was bad.
Yeah.
And I finally did what people had been telling me to do for a long, long time, which was get it cut.
Yeah.
And overnight, it had a very positive effect on my life. And people... It's almost like... When people saw me without the long hair, they were forced to take a new mental picture. So they were forced to update everything they knew about me. And, I got a pay rise, I got a new job, and suddenly women were interested in me where they hadn't been before. And, the rest is history.
And you also got hair for a broom?
And I had, I sold my hair. No, I didn't sell my hair. But, clawing the conversation back if we can.
Sorry.
It leads us rather nicely onto what I think we should talk about today, which is about dating and finding love. Because last time I was here, we were talking about goals, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing. Today, I thought, because two goals which come up again and again in my happiness workshops is either losing weight or finding love. So I thought we'd talk about finding love and dating and dating success and that sort of stuff. So,
but we do have some dating disasters.
Can we read any of them out, though?
Have quite a few. I asked the question this on, and I did get quite a lot of back. Now, did you actually print out any of them?
No.
You didn't.
I'll have to
see which ones I've got here. It's a dating disaster, but I have mentioned this. I was speaking to a guy online for years and years, well, about a year and a half.
Yeah.
I kind of fell in love with him because you fall in love with personality online, not so much the look. And I had seen a picture of him, and it was within the days actually before webcam, so he's seen a picture of me, obviously a flattering one. And I went on holidays to New York with a friend of mine, and I said, well, I'm going to New York. And he drove up from Virginia, which is like hundreds of thousands of miles away, drove up to meet me. And when he walked in, he looked like Oakley Doakley. It was Ned Flanders. Never seen anything like it. Had loads. Not that I have a thing about moles, but his face was one huge mole. There were so many I couldn't even distinguish his nose and his features. And he was wearing slacks and a polo neck.
Right. Well, what's wrong with slacks and a polo neck?
Nothing. They look lovely on you.
Thank you.
But he had been married three times and he'd forgotten to tell me that bit. So that was just a horrible kind of disappointment right. all that way, and then yeah. Ned Flanders, and he had a moustache as well.
Did you go out to? Did you go out specifically to meet him?
No, I didn't. It was part of my holiday, but it was kind of like a nice little bit of the holiday where I thought, well, this can be like the man of my dreams.
Yeah, you see, what I think happened there is that what I think happened there, because that's happened to me as well, is that online dating is all the rage these days, isn't it? It's quite a popular thing to do, and but one of the problems with online dating, there are many problems, but one of the problems with online dating is that if you start talking to somebody and you sort of you get on well with them online, you start batting messages backwards and forwards, it's very easy to fall in love with them, because you have only got perhaps the one or two pictures that you've seen of them, you've got no idea what they sound like. There's a natural delay between message exchanges where they've got plenty of time to think about something, you know, think about what to say.
Yep.
And so to you, they come across as spontaneous and witty, but it might have taken them like 2 days to think of what to say to your last message. And pretty soon we start creating this image in our head about what they're like, and they've probably got a silky, deep voice.
Oh,
and,
I say.
You know, that sort of thing. Hello, I'm a writer. And, an author. And then when you meet them in real life, you know, they're like, hello. Or not even like that, you know. And yes. And it can be a bit of a shock. And it can all go disastrously wrong. And I think that's what happened with you, really, in that
when you just in general.
No, it's even worse, because you're corresponding with somebody in America. So because one of the rules that I talk about in that book is that by about the third, fourth message, I think you ought to be arranging to meet.
Yeah, because if you leave it any longer, you do build up a picture. And
absolutely. Yeah. Now, I've brought with me, talking about rules and tips and that sort of thing, I have my top five tips for dating success. Should we go through them?
Yes.
All right, and you know, feel free to tell me any of your experiences as we go along. I'm probably opening myself up for disaster, but never mind, let's start anyway. So dating tip number one is, I think you've got to figure out what you want. Okay, now you might be back in the days when I was a single guy, I kind of didn't think I could afford to be picky, so I basically went for anybody who was even the slightest bit interested in me. But I've subsequently come to the conclusion that that's completely the wrong thing to do. And probably one of the best things you can do for dating success is to figure out the sort of person that you're looking for. You might even want to do what I did, which is to write a list. And one day I actually sat down and wrote out this shopping list of the sort of girl I would like to meet. And lo and behold, within about 6 weeks later, I'd met my wife, Kate.
Yeah.
And I was astonished. I looked at the number of qualities that she had and what I'd written on my list. And it was amazing how many of those two things were similar.
Yeah.
And just figuring out what you want has the power to sort of like really, you know, help you out in dating success terms. You know, it's nothing, you know, don't. You might think, I can't afford to be picky, but the reverse is actually true. Is that you should be picky, because, yep. You know, and that will increase your chances of success. Number two is we're in the 21st century now, and I think the best way or one of the best things you can do to increase your chances of dating success is to go online. Okay. Did you know, I've figured out that by my calculations, online dating websites are responsible for 1 in 5 marriages. But if you add into that all the other sorts of relationships there are, and all those relationships that haven't quite made it to the altar yet,
yep.
I reckon online dating is probably responsible for 50% of all relationships out yep. there. Have you ever done any online dating?
Oh, I've done loads.
Yeah. You really?
Yeah, I have. I was on the internet when it very first came out. That's a wrong word.
Before it was called the internet.
Before it was called the internet, paper cup. Yeah. And but no, I used to meet loads of people. We're not dating so much, because I used to chat to people and I go out for a drink. And I've met loads and a lot of people now from 10 years ago. I'm still friendly with, still sort of chat to. People I went out with. I went out with one guy called Steve, but because I'd seen somebody called Steve before, I had to call him Harry. But his dad was called Harry.
Right.
Yeah, it was. But he was okay. But then, like, again, we kind of chatted for about 6 months, and then then we met. That's another disaster. Then we met, and he was just a little bit too old for me. As in, I was kind of a bit funkier, and he was a little bit kind of, you know, slacks again. And it's
what is it with you and these guys?
I don't know. I like somebody's got a good speaking voice.
Yeah.
Smells nice.
Yeah.
And make me laugh.
I suddenly heard something in my headphones, and I thought, what was that? Anyway, so you've done number one. You've made your list. That's brilliant. And you've done online dating, or you've decided to go online. That's number two. Right, tip number three is to pick a really good dating website. So Yeah, what website have you tried? What websites have you tried? Because there's loads out there these days.
Well, there was one really dodgy one, and you had to answer about 100 questions, and as the questions got further in, they got more and more explicit.
Really?
About things you wanted to do.
Right, and this is a well-known site, is
yeah,
it?
I'll give you the details afterwards, but sorry, you're with somebody, I won't give you the details. But it was, I don't want to go on. I'm not really, at the moment, I'm quite happy as I am, so I don't really want to go right. And okay. Look for any bit, because it's just, I don't know.
There are an awful lot of websites out there, and it's become big money now. And I mean, yeah. Some of them are even advertising on television. You've got eHarmony, you've got Match.com, yeah. You've got Dating Direct. I don't know whether they even exist anymore, but they have an English one. You've got Plenty of Fish. That's a free one, which I've always thought was a very strange name for a dating website. My favourite one was OkCupid.com. That was a really good one, and I had a lot of success with that one. Went back in my dating days.
100 questions you have to answer on
you
that.
Well, you have to ask. You do have to answer about 100 questions for the match scores to start working. But you don't have to answer 100 questions.
No.
You can answer more. I answered 1,000 by the time I saw. By the time I closed down my profile and left the site, I'd answered well over 1,000 questions. And you're right. Some of them do get quite personal.
Yeah.
But it's a very clever website, and that's a free one as well.
Yeah.
And I think these days, some of the free dating websites are at least as good as the paid for ones. You think the paid for ones would be better, but I'm not so sure that's the case anymore. It'd be interesting to see what your listeners think.
Right, 2 minutes. Got to do a quick bit of travel. Then we're coming back.
Okay.
And we'll have more. We might even be able to read out some of the answers. Possibly.
So there's some of the feedback from the listeners.
Yes.
Really?
Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
I'm joined. You love that. See, we had that as your theme tune months before that song even came out. That's how good we are here at Phoenix.
We made it number one.
We did. I'm joined in the studio by, author. Peter
author.
Jones. Must get it right. Author Peter Jones, who has written such books. I'll just read them through again. From Invisible to Irresistible, which I read the other day. It's brilliant. How to Do Everything and Be Happy, which I'm halfway through at the moment. How to Eat Loads and Stay Slim, which I need to read immediately. And How to Stop Dating and Start Waiting. How to Stop Dating and Start Waiting.
Yeah.
That'd be quite an unusual book.
It would.
And the other one is coming out Easter, The Good Guy's Guide.
To Getting the Girl. Yeah.
What do you write these difficult titles for?
Well, at the time, they don't seem difficult. And in fact, when you've been writing a book for many, many months, maybe even years, you sort of like, after a while, you can take The Good Guy's Guide to Getting the Girl without any problems at all. But then you go on a radio and they go, and he's written the good, and that's what happens.
Now, you've given us your top five. You've given top five tips for...
We got to number three, didn't we?
Yep.
Okay, tip number four is, this sounds like a wise, wise saying. To meet the one, you must first meet to the many.
Oh, yeah,
okay. By which I mean, quite a lot of people, they do online dating, and this, particularly women, I'm talking to you ladies out there, they go into an online dating website, they find some fella, he looks lovely, and they send a few messages, and the messages go well, and he seems funny and flirty and all those sort of things, and then they arrange to meet up for coffee, and then, virtually the moment they've found his profile, they stop. Seeing anybody else, they stop looking at other profiles. If any other messages come in the meantime, they ignore them, or they sort of say, I'm very sorry, I'm seeing somebody, even though they haven't started seeing this person. And then, if Mr. Dreamboat turns out to be less than dreamy, turns out to be Ned Sanders, and he's wearing, slacks and corduroys. Then they're devastated, and because they've had all that emotional investment and they feel like they're going back to square one. That is not the way to do online dating.
And that's not what men do. Men always keep their options open. Men do.
But I think that's because when we're younger guys, we get very, we're competing against everybody. It seems like we're competing against everybody and anybody, and most of those have got cars and they're older and they've got money and we haven't got any of those things. And so we very soon sort of, we adopt a different approach to dating. And I think when it comes to online dating, we've got it right. Exclusivity is only for when you've met somebody in real life at least more than once, and if you want to. Okay, up until that point, you've got to think of it a bit like a production line. You've got to sort of be sending messages to many people. You've got to sort of, you know, go out for coffee with many people until you've been out more than once with somebody you like, and that's when you say, okay, now we're exclusive. So that's tip number four. Mm-hmm. Okay, and tip number five is have fun, because so often I read a blog the other day from this lady, and she was talking about her dating experiences, and she'd met this one guy, and it had been a disaster, and at that point she thought, I'm never going to do any more dating. And judging by the people who've gone to the Facebook page and told us their dating disaster stories as well, people it seems like, you know, dating can seem quite difficult. It can seem like a slog. But if it always feels like a slog, then I'd like to say that I think you're doing something wrong. You've got to enjoy yourself. You've got to treat it like a game. It's got to, you know, it's recreational. You should be, if you're not having fun doing dating, you're doing something wrong. Do you enjoy dating? I get the impression you don't from the sort of things
you've been saying. I'm looking at Mascali at you.
It's just been a very long,
and probably because I don't look. I've got lots of male friends, and one of them in particular I see quite a bit. I've not seen him for a while, actually, because his dad's not very well. But we kind of companion, nothing in the ladies and gentlemen's department. But not that we're going shopping or anything. I'm talking about sort of things you might get up to late at night or early in the morning or afternoons. Any time of the day, I'm free.
Where are you going with this?
I don't
now?
Know where I'm going. But I'm just saying, no, because I don't really. I normally like friends. I've always kind of gone out with people that were friends first.
Right.
I'm that sort of person. No,
that's a good.
Because you build up like a rapport and you know somebody, and then I feel comfortable, and that's the difference. And I've not. I've met loads of. I don't know.
In some ways, what you've got for successful dating requires you taking those elements about building up rapport and having fun and becoming friends.
Yeah.
And that if you can take those things and bring it into your dating, then dating is a lot more successful and a lot more fun as well.
I knew
about this guy, and he would invite people to go and do things with him that he was already going to do anyway.
Right.
So, you know, if he was going to the zoo or going to do or sailing or something like that, he would invite somebody to come with him and go sailing and see what I mean. So he was making it fun. Shall we read out some of these dating disaster stories? Which are pretty horrendous, I have to say.
Now, which one should I go? What about Bill's? Was Bill's okay?
I don't know. I stopped reading off
Bill,
a while.
Bill said, I have an American story. About 20 years ago, my flatmate set me up with a blind date with an American woman that we'd met at a gig. They'd met at a gig break for the border in Charing Cross Road. The date itself went well. I hasten to add, I was total gentleman, escorted her home, but nothing else. Before I could see her again, she unexpectedly returned to America, and in those pre-email days, I wrote her a letter, and next thing I knew, I was being bombarded with letters and phone calls. She got jealous because I mentioned an ex-girlfriend, even though she had an ex-husband, and pretty much asked me to move to Galveston, Texas, to marry her. It got pretty ugly, and I asked her not to call me again, and I was very glad the whole thing, there was a whole ocean between us.
Yeah. That's a bit intense, isn't
it? That is
it?
A bit, yeah. See, all the people on that always answer my question. Daniel Cronin can't read any of yours out because it's just pure filth. We've got one here. A man once took me out and turned up wearing brown flares and a flowery shirt. He was an actor and in the film Robin Hood. I don't know if that's got to do with anything. I said, do you mind if we go to my friend's house for Chinese? And when we walked in, I ran out and I never saw him again. Once a trader took me for a meal. I sat down. He rearranged the arm balls. The arm balls?
No. I think he rearranged something else, which
you probably
can't read out.
Oh, I did read part of the word out, so I thought it said arm. Is that? Oh, right, sorry, that was an E.
Yes.
Right, I thought it said arm balls. No. I was about to say, what are they? Should I say it again?
And she ran out on that one as well.
She said, I looked disgusted, went to the toilet and left. I also went out with a bodybuilder who used to take me to restaurants and watch me eat, as he could only eat chicken and honey. That didn't last either.
Yeah.
Who are these people I've got as friends on Facebook?
Yeah, well, I have to say, and I'm not mentioning any names, Molly, because Molly seems to run out on an awful lot of her dates halfway through.
Which is
horrible.
There's men
being left at the bar, wondering where, thinking she's gone to the ladies all over the country.
One of my friends did that. She actually went for it, and she said it was so awful. She got upset. But you shouldn't really do. just come out and just try and
I think once you've actually decided to go on a date, okay, you're committed. Even if it's not going well, you have to go, you have to, you know, you have to see it through to the end. You can't just make excuses and go, look, do the trick. What you've got to do is you've got to get the friend to phone up halfway through, haven't you? That's the thing. That everybody knows
that. So there's an emergency.
Yeah, and
arm balls have fallen off.
That's it. And you either sort of like, if things are going well, you cancel the call. If things aren't going well, you go, I'm afraid I've just got to get this. Yeah. Oh, hello. What? Oh, I'll be there right away. Now, everybody knows what's going on, but it's like shorthand for,
goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
And don't ever call me again.
Don't ever call me again. Yeah. Oh. There was a question from David. I did notice it.
Yep,
he said, what fibs are okay to mention on a date? Which was an intriguing question, David. I think that asks more questions than it answers, really. But on dates, I can't think of any off the top of my head. But I do think online dating, there's a couple of things where I think it's essential that you lie. First of all, some dating websites ask for your postcode. I don't think you should ever put that in.
No.
But why do they know? They don't need that information, okay? All they need that information for is so they can put a pin on a map and, for the website. But your postcode is very personal information. Yeah. You don't know who's going to see that. Could be used for all sorts of reasons. And the second thing, for very similar reasons, is don't use your exact date of birth.
No.
Make yourself like a day or two or a month or two older or younger. But I wouldn't use your exact date of birth because date of birth, again, is usually a security question. Yeah. You don't know who is going to be... using this information. So there's a couple of things where I think you should definitely fib.
And what about when you're there? Is there anything you should lie about? You know, should you big yourself? See, the thing is, if you lie and you big yourself up saying, well, I've got this job, and then you actually go out with them properly, then you've kind of... a bit false, isn't it?
So well, no, I don't think you should. In fact, actually, one of the things I used to do when I used to go on dates was I invented something called the question game, where you take it in turns to ask questions. So, and you say, you know, you have to tell the truth as well. And so during the course of the evening, while you're sharing a bottle of wine, you know, I ask you a question, then you ask me a question, I ask you a question back. And that's a really easy, it's a fun way of building intimacy and getting to know each other. And then what normally happens is as the wine flows, the questions get a little bit more intimate and a little bit more intimate and a little bit more intimate. And
I don't know what dates you've been out on. I've never had a date like that before.
Well, there you go. You see, you're doing it wrong.
Well, obviously. People at the game really.
Which brings me rather nicely. If anybody wants sort of like more dating tips, then my latest book, How to Start Dating and Stop Waiting, is packed with them.
Yep.
And it's one hefty tome, as you noticed. Huge.
How many pages is it? It's over 350 pages, isn't
it? Yeah. I read the audiobook, when was it, last weekend or the weekend before, and I think it came in at 8.5 hours.
Oh!
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah, no, but that does include the companion guide from Invisible to Irresistible.
Now, quick question. Oh, don't forget your website, which is www.peterjonesauthor.com, where you can find out all loads about your book and loads about you and pictures if you want to see what pictures look
and
like.
And also,
as well,
how to do everything and be happy.com if you're not bothered about me and more interested about the books or the subjects being discussed.
Not interested about you. The other thing I want to say, if we've got about a minute and a half, is on a first date, okay?
Yeah.
Is it ever, I mean, should you kiss on a first date, or do you think you should have that mystery to see somebody again? What is your personal thought on that?
I think you should, actually. But, I mean, it depends. I mean, when I'm playing the question game, that was usually my final question.
Oh, right. Yeah. What's he saying? Do you fancy a snog after you finished your pint of
I don't put it like that. I'm a little bit more romantic than that. But that's what I used to... That's how I used
to... Would you kiss on a first date? Yeah. Is that what you say?
No!
What is it? I don't know.
Can I kiss you? Or if you're a woman, you change it to, would you like to kiss me? Or something like that.
You wouldn't want a woman to say that to you, would you?
I would. That would be brilliant. After 2 hours of sharing, you know, a couple of bottles of wine and the question...
After listening to you and all the stuff you've been going on about, you bored me. Where's my snog?
Now, can I do a quick plug to the next Happy workshop? We're doing... I did a workshop last month and it was a rip-roaring success, so we decided we're going to run it again. And so it's a one-day happiness workshop. It's only £45. It's on a Sunday, Sunday 23rd of March, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and it's only £45, and you can pay online and come along, and it would be absolutely brilliant.
Where is it?
It's a good point. It's at the Therapy Life Centre in Southend, which is next to the, or where it actually is, the old driving test centre.
Oh, right.
And it's a really good day. And we had a lot of fun last time. And it's a good, fun day where you can sort of like, where we do all sorts of things. We talk about Boxing Day and goals and now lists and wish lists. And we sort of like we send your life in a completely new direction. It's good.
Excellent. Thank you very much to Peter. You shall be back in another...
In a month.
In a month's time.
Yeah, next month.
All the W's, peterjonesauthor.com, or you can go and have a look at all the W's...
How to do everything, be happy.com.
And always remember, ladies, snog on a first date. Then you might get a second one.